WEEI Afternoons, that was Josh McDaniels, Patriots offensive coordinator, talking about Drake May and that balance, that fine line between making plays, making mistakes, good decisions, bad decisions. And I thought it was interesting before we get into these ESPN rankings that Josh kind of put it on Drake. Like, that's, you know, a lesson, you know, touch the hot stove, learn from it, and then don't touch it a second time kind of situation with Drake May, because only Drake May knows what he can get away with, right? In college, in high school, now in the NFL. And it's why yesterday, Nick Fitzy Stevens, Ted Johnson here on WEEI Afternoons, I changed my comparison a little, Ted. I'm starting to think there may be a little, and you can take this good or bad because you played the man in a Super Bowl. I'm starting to think there may be some Brett Favre in Drake May, where I'm going to have to accept occasionally things that I just shake my head and go, don't do that again. I love all the good plays, but don't do that one again. Is there any reality to that, do you think?
Perhaps, yeah, perhaps. It's towards the end of Brett's career, it was kind of like, why'd you do that play at the end that sealed our fate?
Right.
If it's at the beginning of the game, you can maybe overcome it, which, Brett early in his career kind of, you know, if he was going to mess up, it would be earlier in games. But at the end of his career, it's like a Tony Romo thing.
Yep.
Where it's like they play brilliant and then throw the worst pass ever on the final drive to win the game, to seal the game for the other team. So a lot of it is just when he does it. But there's a gunslinger type of piece to his game, man.
Yep.
That you don't want to totally harness. You want to kind of have it, you know, you don't want to totally conceal that. But you, at the same time, kind of just look, it's not too dissimilar to what Josh Allen had to do. I mean, he was just this wild, untamed horse that you tried to corral. And you saw that they were able to some degree, and he's having more success. So I think that's something that you can teach out of guys. I don't think Drake May is going to be as stubborn as Brett. Brett did whatever the hell he wanted, and so that won't be Drake May's path in my estimation.
Fitzy, who do you think likes Drake May more, the locals or the Nationals?
I think it's pretty split. I think it's probably pretty fair right down the middle, because obviously the locals believe in his ability and have been dying for their savior to come in and wipe clear our memories of Mac Jones and that flame out and Zappy fever and everything else. And I think all of your Nationals, your Arlovskis and a lot of your NFL.coms and network guys see this great, this potential for a, you know, a generational talent. The elite combination he presents of processing, arm talent, and running ability, I think that's what leads people on the national level to fall in love with him. And here we just need a quarterback.
They don't look at the record, the one win, 9 losses last year. They just look at the raw ability,
right?
Which is what I'm looking at. But this is the last year I'm doing that. Like last year was the last year I'm doing it. Now you got to win games, Drake, and
right.
So. Pats fans are like, did you win or lose? Yeah, you lost 9 games. So I think there's more of that with the local fans.
Which is where both comparisons, whether you want to do the Josh Allen comparison or the Brett Favre comparison, second year as a starter in Buffalo, Josh Allen went to the playoffs. And Brett Favre went to the Super Bowl, where, sorry, but he beat you guys. Like, he won a Super Bowl. That's a guy who, and that's an NFL MVP. So, like, the balance of the good plays to bad plays, the game-winning plays to the game-losing plays, Josh Allen harnessed and Brett Favre harnessed. We're hoping we're in the phase of harnessing for Drake May. But I asked you that, Fitzy, because today we get from ESPN 2025 NFL Future Power Rankings is what they call them. So what they basically did is they had their expert panel, which consists of Ben Solak, Lewis Riddick, Aaron Schatz, and Seth Walder. They had them rate each team's quarterback situation, rest of the roster, front office, and coaching staff on a scale basically of 50 to 100, basically similar to what you were graded at in school. Mm-hmm. And your New England Patriots ranked tied for 18th overall as a team, with a strong C-plus average, 77.2 average. Just so you know, they are tied with the Chicago Bears in that spot as the 18th best team in football. But what jumps off the page for me is the quarterback ranking. 87.5 was the average score for 7th in the NFL. That's Drake May over the next 3 years, 25, 26, 27. I think that is an optimistic view of Drake May that every Patriots fan would sign up for, because I want to remind you, just to put it in perspective, as I just did during the break for Ted Johnson, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen appear to be going nowhere. They're in the primes of their careers.
Top four quarterbacks in your National Football League.
And they should be the top four quarterbacks in 2026 and 2027 in all likelihood, barring something tragic or scary. And therefore, to get down to the number seven spot, there's only three more spots there. A guy I would include, Jaden Daniels. He was in your draft class, and he took his team to the NFC title game, so I feel like he has to be ahead of you. And then another guy that is universally adored, generally, is Justin Herbert, who's always included in these top rankings and so good and talented and all these things.
Yeah. Justin Herbert, I need him. Talk about someone I need to win a game. I need Justin Herbert to win a game that counts. That's two trips to the playoffs and one massive, epic bed crapping and then an absolute ass whooping at the hands of the Texans last year. Jaden Daniels, isn't he now almost widely considered five or six in terms of quarterbacks? Like, if there's tier one with the big four that you just rattled off, Jaden Daniels hovers around or near the top of tier two as far as quarterbacks. And when we were discussing something similar yesterday, Andy, we said we would love to see Drake May hit the middle of that, hit that second tier of like quarterbacks 5 through 13 by the end of the season. If he does, that represents massive success for McDaniels, success for himself personally, and success for the Patriots as a team overall.
Yeah, I love the idea of him being a top seven quarterback because of the comparisons. I'll throw another name out there. A guy who, I don't know, has been to two Super Bowls and he's won one. Jalen Hurts is below Drake May on this list. You know, a guy that's also a year ago was Jaden Daniels. That'd be C.J. Stroud. Went to Houston, turned the organization around, went to the playoffs, won a game. He was the next big thing. Then all of a sudden, last year happened. They fired his offensive coordinator. He's not as highly thought of, which is something I actually think could happen with Jaden Daniels, that he could have a step back year this year.
But doesn't Stroud now have your boy Nick Cayley?
He does. He does. And maybe he jumps back into this conversation. But Ted, seventh in the next 3 years for Drake May. And I know you're a Drake May guy, and you want him to be good. You think he is good and talented. Is that about right? Overly optimistic? What do you think of that?
Based on his traits, that's about right. So I think he has the potential to be better than Herbert, better than Goff, just as good, or if not better than C.J. Stroud. I think he's more talented and has a better skill set than Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Justin Herbert. And so those are the guys that you're looking at that would be at six or seven. So just based on a raw ability, he's as good, if not better, than all those guys. So it's not the craziest thing to think that in 3 years from now, he would be a top eight quarterback in this league.
Yeah, no, it's not crazy. I would also say some other teams, if I were biased fan bases, like if I'm Denver, I say, well, wait a minute. My rookie a year ago was better than your rookie, Bo Nix, right? Mm-hmm. Production-wise. Now, raw traits ability.
But he's the same as like Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy is got a better system and a better coach. It's considered a better quarterback because of that. Not as much because his raw abilities are better than the guys. It's more about the system and the coach that he has.
And here's where, Fitzy, I think the list gets a little wonky and weird. I actually appreciate the exercise that they do, but it makes it a little weird. So the overall roster minus the quarterback, they rank the Patriots 26th at 69.3%.
Yeesh.
For 3 years from now?
That's what I said, Ted. Right now, I might agree with you, but aren't they going to spend in free agency? Aren't they going to continue to draft? Aren't you expecting that? Like, we know that Drake May is going to be their quarterback for 3 years, so there's no projection there. But the difference between, I hope, this year's roster in 2025 and the 2027 roster is light years away, but they're ranking all 3 years. They put him 26th. So I find it hard to believe Drake May is going to be the seventh best quarterback in football with the 26th best roster. That means he's carrying essentially a bad football team, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that means he's even better than you think, Ted. If he's carrying the 26th roster in football, but performing at a seventh best quarterback in football level, like those numbers don't really seem to marry up.
I think part of it's just, I mean, the roster is kind of too deep to be determined right now. The Patriots roster, I think, is significantly better than last year. Yet But it's a lot of, you know, kind of middling free agents, you know, that you're bringing in with a lot of rookies that you're not sure exactly how they're going to perform. And so I can see why they had them rated as low as they did when you factor those things in.
Because, Fitzy, I mean, if you looked at the mainstays, guys that you were going to circle and say, this guy will be on the 2027 roster.
Gonzo.
Yep.
Campbell. Will Campbell.
Will Campbell.
Travion Henderson.
Travion
Drake
Henderson.
May. Kyle Williams.
Yeah, not Drake May. Kyle Williams, I don't know that I would lock in on the 2027 roster.
I hope he is. Better be. But otherwise, who the hell is on there for receivers?
No, Milton Williams, probably. Not even Christian Barmore at this point in his career. I can't.
Definitely not.
I just so that makes that exercise, that idea of I'm ranking the roster 3 years from now, especially for a rebuild. They're not established.
They don't have an established core. So if you have an established core of 5 to 8 players, they would be ranked higher.
They also don't have an established guy picking the groceries. And I don't mean to take a shot at Vrabel. This isn't a lack of confidence. He just got here. I don't know how good this free agent class is going to be. I don't know how good. For as the Eagles, they already have maybe the best roster in football. By the way, they're number one on this list.
Not maybe.
Okay, so they have the best roster in football.
Without question.
And the guy who put together said best roster in football, Howie Roseman, is still going to be putting that roster together.
Correct.
So you have reason to believe, even if it changes, he'll probably do a pretty good job because his track record in recent years has been good. So that's interesting to me. The other aspect here, Fitzy, the major factor we've talked about, who's the face of the Patriots right now? It's actually maybe not Drake May. Might be Mike Vrabel.
Most definitely Mike Vrabel still.
The coaching staff for the next 3 years, from 2025 to 2027, ranks 18th in the NFL with an 80.8 grade, barely a B-minus grade for Mike Vrabel and his staff. I find that interesting, too. If they end up
That's for 3 years from now?
Yep. Yeah. The totality of the span.
I think that's wrong.
Seems low to me.
I mean, if you look at the resume of the coaches they have, I mean, three former head coaches are assistant coaches here. I'd love to see another roster that can boast that.
And Fitzy, I'm going to tie it back in. How is Drake May going to be the seventh best quarterback in football with a bad roster and questionable coaching?
That's impossible.
Right.
I mean, that does not compute on any single level that this guy's going to be running around there with nobody to support him, no one in front of him blocking for him, no one calling the right plays, nobody on the back end getting open, no one stopping the other team from scoring. That seems like a curious downvote on the draft class and free agency class that the Patriots had. Didn't at the end of April, didn't everyone basically laud the Patriots draft?
Yes, absolutely. I mean,
and don't we have confidence that they might be able to pull off similar drafts in the future? I don't know. Personally, I don't know where they'll be picking. Hopefully it's, you know, somewhere between 17 and 32 and not 1 and 16. But that seems like a vote that says you bought a lot of your talent. You don't have a core, like Ted just said. Establish your core, and then we'll get back to you.
But it's been, two back-to-back, 4-win seasons. I mean, it's just, there's some stink on this, you know. I mean, they haven't won a playoff game in 6 years.
Yep.
So there's, you know, the Patriots haven't done much to kind of get the attention of the national reporters. They just haven't. And so if you're you know, mad that they're down on them, I think they're warranted in kind of thinking that, considering what they've been watching the last few years.
So that's one ESPN vision for Drake May. He's going to be the seventh best quarterback in football in the next 3 years, even if his coach isn't great and the front office isn't great and the roster is downright stinky. Then we get to Dan Orlovsky, who we know is a fan of Drake May. We know it. He's said it. He's gushed about it. We've played clips on here, all the various things. And yet he put together his list, because he's the quarterback guy, ranking NFL quarterbacks by traits, Ted, something that you just kind of talked about, right? You talked about Drake May's traits and his raw ability, not necessarily the wins and the losses and all of that stuff. Best arm, accuracy, and all those other things. Well, guess what? Drake May only showed up in one of those in Orlovsky's top tens. One of them. Top 10 arm strength, top 10 accuracy. No Drake May, no Drake May, no Drake May. A lot of the usual suspects, by the way. The Mahomeses, the Allens, the Burrows, the great quarterbacks in the league. He did show up in the second reaction ability. He came in ninth. Second reaction ability. So essentially, he describes it. I was thinking the same thing when I heard it.
I played football a long time. I've never heard of that term.
Thank you. You make me feel better when I shake my head.
What the hell is he talking about?
He basically said, I don't know if I have the exact text here, when the first play, when the play breaks down, what do you do? What's your ability once everything kind of breaks down?
Okay.
So there's running ability there. There's decision making. There's extending plays, throwing off platform. Seems like that's all kind of rolled into this category. So, for example, Lamar Jackson's number one.
He's
pretty good at that, right? Mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes, number two.
That makes sense.
Josh Allen, he's pretty good at that.
Yep.
Jaden Daniels, pretty good at that.
Yep.
So that's what you're getting. You get down to the nine spot, it is Drake May. And the analysis that he writes is Bo Nix comes in at 10, just but for comparison purposes, another second-year quarterback. Nix surprised a lot of people with his effectiveness in this category in 2024, and I'm watching for May to show what he can do here in 2025. The Patriots would be smart to let May loose on these types of plays, especially because they improved his supporting cast. Having better playmakers means it's more likely someone gets open late in the down. So basically, because you have Stephon Diggs, when you're scrambling, you might be able to hit Stephon Diggs' big play kind of situation. Yes, Dan Ball.
Can I read this to Ted real quick, the description of what you're talking about?
Because
for some reason, Orlovsky wrote it like a trailer for an action movie.
Okay.
The ball is snapped, everything breaks down, and the defense wins the play. What happens next? Can the quarterback still make something happen, even when the called play dead in the water? These are the best of the best in off-schedule and off-platform pros.
It's a promo.
That's it.
That's Dan. You nailed it. That's exactly what Ted
said. And it's also,
like,
to quote you to you, words, words, words.
Words
on a paper. Yeah.
We know you're smart, Dan.
So are you concerned that I thought you were talking to Dan Ball, but you were talking to Dan
Orlovsky. No, we can flip that for future use, though.
Can use that for yourself, Dan Ball. Good job.
Are you out of your mind?
Do you believe that Drake May should rank higher in some of these? Should he be accuracy, arm strength, running ability? Like, is
no,
he?
No, there's not enough film. I mean, you know, you're basically projecting. I mean, you saw him playing 10 games last year, and they, you know, if you watched every single snap, I think maybe you'd say, okay, yeah, he could be ranked a little bit higher, but I don't think you saw enough of Drake May in meaningful games last year to really have like a hard and fast kind of beat on what the guy is.
And sometimes Fitzy, and I think Drake may fall into this, because if I really look at it, Fitzy, I'm not sure I'd say he's the fastest of quarterbacks.
Drake May?
Yeah.
Oh, he's one of the fastest quarterbacks in the NFL.
He's pretty damn fast.
He's
not Kyler Murray, but he can scoot. Dude.
Oh, he can.
He's not Lamar Jackson, I can tell you that much.
Okay. I bet he is a top 5-7.
Dan Orlovsky doesn't think so.
Okay. Well, Dan doesn't know everything. Okay.
Okay, but let me just.
He's fast.
I think he's fast. I'm not sure he's as fast as you think he is. We can probably find out what that number is. His arm strength, I think, is good. I don't know if it wows me. And I wonder, is he a guy that all of his attributes or traits are really good? None of them is the one he hangs his hat on. And is that why he may not get you in a bunch of top 10 lists like Dan Orlovsky puts together, but the overall product gets you in the top 10?
Yeah. Look, if Tom Brady was playing today, how would he rank on all those traits?
Accuracy, I think I'd have him high.
Okay. And then what else? Arm strength.
Nope.
Whatever, second reaction,
nope.
Whatever.
Nope.
Okay, so
decision making, he'd be high. Accuracy and decision making, he'd put him high. You're right. The others, he would not. And the totality of his abilities made him the greatest of all time. That's why they gave him a statue on Friday night that Ted Johnson was very excited to see.
I went there in the middle of the night by myself and just.
Oh boy, easy now.
Just
settle down.
Just you know, had my time with Tom. Great.
Prayed in the general direction of Tom Brady.
Lit a candle.
In all seriousness, before we go to Dan Ball and what's trending, do you have any reaction to the statue? Did you like it, dislike it? It's a controversial thing, statues these days.
I was hoping for a little bit more.
Yeah. Stiz keeps saying mid. It's just mid.
Meh.
That's the reaction. You didn't screw it up.
Right.
It looks like Tom Brady.
Yep.
But you didn't wow me and make me excited to see it or, you know, tell the kids about
it. That's where I fall in line.
Felt like a safe statue.
Very
safe. Just play it safe. Let's just do a safe statue that can overlook Gillette Stadium and Drake May's building.
And you
career.
Guys were right. I listened to a lot of statue talk yesterday, and I listened through all of it. But
feels
just
like
with AI, you just think they would have ways in which you could perfect that process better.
Between AI, scanners, and these digital printers 3D, or whatever, 3D printers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just print a Tom Brady. It should look exactly like him. But then
you're not an artist. It was.
Yeah, they yelled at us. I'm not an artist. I've never had an artistic bone in my body.
Yeah.
I agree with that. But you didn't have to be mean and call us out. 617-779-7937. How confident are you in Drake May? Do you think Drake May is a top seven quarterback with the next 3 years, even with questionable coaching and questionable roster and questionable GM and questionable everything else around him? We'll answer that question. We'll take your calls on the other side, 617-779-7937. But first, Dan Ball, Dan Smart. Dan's not as smart as you think. Tell us what's trending. Oh, boy. Tom Brady. Tom Brady talking words, 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 as Ted Johnson would say here on WEEI Afternoons. We'll get to that in a minute. He was on a podcast with Joel Klatt.
Yeah, a lot to say.
He does, and we're going to hear some of it, and I think you'll have a lot to say in reaction to Tom having a lot to say. But first, let's go to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Brandon in Boston wants to react to our Drake May talk. What's up, Brandon?
Hey, how you guys doing? So I don't even think Drake May should even be mentioned in the top 10. He hasn't proven nothing. I'll give you some stats in his college. In 2022, he's played 14 games, 7 interceptions, 5 fumbles, a total of 12. That's for mismanagement of the ball. Okay, in 2023, he played 12 games, 9 interceptions, 2 fumbles. That's 11 for mismanagement of the ball. And in NFL, he got worse, 13 games, 10 interceptions, 6 fumbles. That's a total of 16 mismanagement of the ball. So to even say he's projected in the next 3 years to probably be in the top 10 and be, what, 7 you guys said, shouldn't even be in discussion. He hasn't proven anything. And for me, I didn't even want him as my QB. I had Jaden Daniels first. Then I had Joe Milton. Then I had J.J. McCarthy and Bo Nix.
All right, thanks for the call, Brandon. We don't need to recap here.
I love Brandon's takes. he's right to point that out.
Yeah.
If I said to Brandon, well, he had 4 different coordinators his last 3 years, and then he's going on his 4th new offensive coordinator 4 years in a row.
Yep.
Does that change your opinion on it a little bit?
It's not great. I mean, the results are the results, right?
Maybe this is who he is.
Right. But there's definitely part of that. And Fitzy, this is why the Josh Allen comps come, because Josh Allen, I always go back to it. If you watched his highlight video coming out of Wyoming, you said, my God, this guy can do things I've never seen before. If you watched his low light video, you said, my God, this guy will be bagging my groceries in a year. These are some of the worst plays I've ever seen. You grow as a professional, right? Like, that's why Josh McDaniels gets paid a lot of money, to take a clay piece that is talented and mold it into a good NFL player. So to just disregard Drake May because he hasn't done it is disregarding development and potential and all those things that he brings to the table.
Yeah, but isn't Josh Allen's development largely attributed to not just his own work ethic and his physical skills, but also the work that Brian Daboll did with him up in Buffalo? And it took him a while to turn him into one of the best quarterbacks in football. Wasn't until the second half of his second year that he really put things together and he became very dangerous. And then in 2020, took off like a freaking bottle rocket. Drake May never had a game, to my memory, Drake May never had a game last year as bad as some of Josh Allen's worst games in 2018 and early 2019, when he was turning the ball over multiple times and losing Buffalo the game before the rest of the team had a chance to win it. So that's why you should be excited for what Drake May could do this year with McDaniels.
And obviously, any list that's talking about 2 or 3 years down the road is based on projection and potential. Sometimes bad projection. If you're 30 years old, the projection will say, oh, you're probably going to lose a step and your production's going to fall off because of the natural evolution. If you're 22 years old, people assume you're going to get better and maybe be higher on that list. Let's go back to the phones. Our buddy Justin in Washington talking about quarterback play. What's up, Justin?
Hey, gentlemen. I have a question for you three guys. And it's, can a QB learn how to be clutch, or is this something innate, like Andy's statement on superstars like Roman Anthony? You know it when you see it the first time. And I ask that because while I am a Patriots fan, we watched it all with Tom Brady. Last year, Jaden Daniels, who the last 3 seasons had 3 different offensive coordinators, came in, and in almost every situation that was clutch, he won. And then the trait would be decision-making late in games. And he won to the point where not only in the stands did everybody think that he was going to win, but his teammates all knew that they were going to win, and they said it in all these post-game interviews. And I ask because Drake May's kind of been the opposite. The stupid turnovers that the last caller referenced, only one win, even Peyton Manning got three in his horrendous rookie season. And he had a lot of back-breaking fumbles and interceptions late. So can Drake May learn this, or is this kind of what we're in for, the Sam Darnold experience?
Thanks for the call, Justin. Ted Johnson.
Boy, it's. I mean, it's that's a good question.
Yep.
What's the answer? Really is. And I think you can go. I think you can make a case for both. I think you can teach it out of them, and I think it is an innate kind of thing in a player as well. I think it's both. My hope is that you can teach it out of them. Josh is going to. I think part of the struggle with this offense is to take a major step forward, you have to take a few steps backwards before you can start doing that. I think that's kind of what is going on with Drake May. My hope is that you can teach him how to become clutch and make the right decisions late in games. If you have the proper coaching and teach him, how to execute in those high pressure moments. I think it can be taught.
Fitzy, I also think it can be contagious, and it's why I've said to you for almost a year now, one of my great regrets as a Drake May fan and a Patriots fan is that the Tennessee play was not a game-winning touchdown. Because if that were a game-winning touchdown, and Justin's talking about it, you go in the huddle or you're watching from the stands, Drake May right now faces, geez, I hope he doesn't turn it over with the game. If you watch that play, maybe that's the first time where you go, yeah, we got Drake May. We'll win this. He always makes play. Remember that Tennessee play? He did it against them.
Oh, the Tennessee game. Oh, the one where he threw an interception to lose the game at the end?
If you could eliminate that, I feel like it's stupid to say. Maybe it's stupid. I feel like that could change perception of Drake May right there. And that could snowball for the positive. But he doesn't quite have that yet, Fitzy. And I think that's something he needs to learn and earn.
Yeah, he's got to learn that. And I think that's why Josh McDaniels is here. Plenty of people have fancy playbooks with neat plays and rub routes and screens and deep passes and stuff that you've never seen before. But Josh McDaniels, I think, was explicitly hired to be able to get the most out of Drake May and also bring along an offense that the organization was comfortable and familiar with. This is still kind of like the end of his rookie year. He only started 11 games. Oh, and he started 11 games on the worst team in football last year as well. So if anybody deserves a breakfast ball or two, it's Drake May.
Now, the flip side of that is Brandon brings up college, and that's part of his resume too. We can't just pretend that Drake May began existing here in New England when he arrived a year ago. College happened, different coordinators, different line, different reasons, but he himself admits they were never able to get over the hump. They'd win a few games to start the year, and then they'd get to a big game that they needed to kind of enter the national conversation, and they'd lose. And I believe his phrase was sort of the story of my career at North Carolina. I don't love that, because in today's football, the quarterback is the most important guy. He decides winning and losing a lot, especially at North Carolina, right? It's not Georgia versus Alabama where it's really team versus team. They're all loaded. You're at North Carolina. If you find a way to win, you should be able to find a way to win at North Carolina. So there's a little bit of me that worries about Justin's question. Like, does he not have it? Does he not have special? Does he not have clutch? And how does he develop that? Back to the phone line, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Rick in Rhode Island. What's up, Rick?
Yeah, how you doing? First time, long time. I was just calling in regards to that the dink that just called in not too long ago talking about Drake May's stats in college.
Yes, Brandon.
Yeah, he brought up his fumbles and his interceptions, but he left out his completion percentage, his touchdowns.
Yes, okay, thanks for the call, Rick. Yeah, he did some good things in college. That's why he was the number three pick in the draft. His redshirt sophomore year, he was like 5,000 yards, some stupid number. One of the greatest seasons in ACC history, statistically, from the quarterback position. And that conference, I know we poo-poo maybe North Carolina, what they are as a mid-major, and that's a good football conference. There's been some good quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Might have heard of Deshaun Watson, pretty good player, came through there. So there's been some talented guys.
And the four interceptions, whatever. We can dismiss all that.
Well, you know what we can't really dismiss? Any of this. The good stuff is real. Ted Johnson, your love for his speed, his footwork, yep, his arm strength. The bad stuff, the fumbles, the interceptions, the losing, They're all real.
If this is look, I've made excuses for him. I've given him the benefit of the doubt. This will be that's done after this year. So this year is going to be a huge year for my my kind of how I feel about Drake. I think he's got special abilities, but is he a winner? Is he a franchise player? That remains to be seen. I still need to see it, but I'd rather have a guy that has this raw ability that you can kind of hone in and at least get him focused to get him into the quarterback you want to be, as opposed to not having that and trying to, you know, make him into something special. It's it'd be a harder road to go that way.
So we'll call this the anti-Brandon Fitzy, as he's always capable of doing. Dan Ball sends me the information we need. The 2022 ACC Player of the Year. He had 4,329 yards passing, 38 touchdowns compared to just 7 interceptions, completed 66% of his passes. He had over 308 yards per game, finished 10th in the Heisman, and that was his breakout, I just arrived kind of year. Yes, Dan Ball.
And the number you were looking for, he led all of the NCAA in total offense, 5,019 total yards of offense that year.
5,000 yards of offense in college.
And 19.
That's pretty damn good. So, again, this is all part
of his
resume.
It's in there.
Right? Like, that can happen. Let's get that to happen. What is the reason that happens? How do you make the – is that coaching? Is that talent around him? Because you remember the next year he lost his slot receiver, the guy that went to the Colts that he loved.
Josh Downs.
Like, there's some – those are all factors in this development, and that's why it's on Ted's guy, Mike Vrabel. It's on Josh McDaniels. It's on Cowden and Elliott Wolf to find the right combination of talent around him, the right receivers that work. But I am interested to see this. There's a little bit, Fitzy, of a passionate polarization going on in Patriot Nation where you're getting some seemingly kind of Drake May haters or pushback, and then you have the ardent supporters.
Well, yeah, Brandon brought up Joe Milton. Joe Milton, he thinks, is better than Drake May.
Yeah, that seemed ridiculous. Did anybody
but
see the
highlights?
But there's
other fans. You think – you don't How'd he do? How'd he look?
It wasn't great.
So,
he pulled a Chisholm in the fourth quarter. He was good.
So his game highlights, not as good as his practice highlights.
No, there were a lot of what I would call traditional throws where the ball went in the air and was nowhere near the intended receiver, which is kind of the story of Joe Milton's career. But Fitzy, you're the man of the people. You're the pulse of the people in Patriot Nation with a lot of P's there popping. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there is a little polarization going? Like some people that just love Drake May all in, and then others that are kind of haters are like, he hasn't really done anything, guys.
I'd say it's 80-20, 80%. He's the next guy. He's it. I'm not calling him Brady, but we got our guy. Now it's time for Vrabel, Diggs, Henderson, and especially McDaniels to bring out the best in him. And then there is a little sect that I had somebody earlier today when Mego and I were doing a Six Rings podcast say, can't wait for Drake to exit the puppy phase and become a real dog. Like someone just like still making mistakes, still looks like he's learning, still looks like he's thinking, and he isn't fully executing the offense. To which I say once again, he's 11 games into his career. Ted, you pointed out 3 years, 3 new coordinators from college to the pros. Like, give the kid a chance. That's why I'm not passing judgment till at least the middle of October. I need 5-6 games under McDaniels to start getting an idea how his development's going.
I won't insinuate that he's at a career crossroads, but I will say this. If you're a franchise quarterback,
Cole Strange,
who's dropping like a stone on the depth chart. Anyway, but we do have this thing out there that there's this belief over the last quarter century, basically, if you're a franchise quarterback, you make the playoffs in your first 2 NFL seasons. He didn't make it last year. That means there's some pressure to make it this year, or he's the exception that proves the rule or whatever we want to
have. Next week's interview with him. Make sure to tell him that he's at a career crossroads.
617-779-7937, rolling with your opinions, reactions, and hopes for Drake May. But up next, we do need to get to that Tom Brady audio with Joel Klatt. He's talking about Bill Belichick, a guy he chose to leave once upon a time, but it doesn't sound like he has any ill will anymore. Tom Brady's comments on Bill Belichick next here on WEEI Afternoons. WEEI Afternoons, that was a little sampling of some audio we're going to jump right into. So Tom Brady, he is an analyst now. He's a card store owner. He's jumping off yachts by himself. There's a variety of things that he does. But the one thing he's a bit of a hype man for Bill Belichick. He's all in on that, Ted Johnson. And your guy, Joel Klatt, that's a buff, right?
It is, yep.
Okay,
yep,
so
yep.
They're talking college football a little bit here. Bill Belichick is now a college football coach. He is at North Carolina. So Tom Brady is telling people what they're getting for Bill Belichick at North Carolina. It's a little longer, so we might do a little start and stop here, and we need to get Ted Johnson's reactions to his old teammate.
Bill Belichick at North Carolina, what are those players in for?
I'm very interested, too, as well. what they're going to get is, obviously, the most prepared, the most hardworking coach that I'd ever been around.
Stop.
Is Bill working hard these days? I mean, have you seen his socials recently?
I have. Yeah? Jordan and company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you see how his last few years ended up here? Was he working hard?
More days off. Yeah. More days off.
So I would say, I've always told the story. Bill, I bet you Bill worked harder than anybody at the beginning of his career.
Mm-hmm.
I told you when I was at the draft, there was one head coach of the Cleveland Browns. That was Bill Belichick at the combine. Made sure he saw me and talked to me because he wanted to, he was looking for an inside linebacker in that year's draft, and he grilled me on cover two. Bill Belichick, at the end of his career, was not going to combines and doing that. Like he was with me.
That's absolutely not true.
That's true, Bill. You know that is true. And so
Barbados Bill? Remember when he was on the
To give
raft?
The impression that he's Barbados working as hard now Belichick. As he was 30 years ago yeah. is misleading.
Which may be the most normal thing we've ever said about Bill Belichick. You know who else does that? 98% of the population.
People that get older.
Right. You get older. Mm-hmm. You've been working mm-hmm. for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. You like, you know what? The grind has worn me down. I want to do a little less.
Get a new job in college football.
I mean, look how he drafted. He drafted players that were players on teams of his friends.
Yeah.
And he hired coaches only that he were loyal to him.
Yep.
Is that working hard?
Nope.
So, you know, a little misleading there, TB.
And the results were not good.
Correct.
The results were bad, Tom. So at one point in your career, is that the guy that North Carolina would have been getting?
Correct.
Yes, but you had that guy and you won with that guy for a long time. Roll it.
The most hardworking coach that I'd ever been around. If you go to that school, you will be prepared to play at the next level. He's going to teach you the right fundamentals, the right techniques. He's going to have a high expectation
Stop.
For you.
Now, I think he will teach you fundamentals and techniques. I do believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But weren't we talking about, let's just say you're an offensive player, quarterback, wide receiver, running back. Weren't we talking about how the Patriots offense was kind of out of date and they needed to try to streamline it and update it because college kids coming in didn't fit it. They had played in other schemes, spreads and different things. One word meant something. One picture meant something. So I get the techniques and all of that. I think Bill Belichick can still teach techniques. I absolutely would go to my grave believing that. But is his view of football the view of football that college football has become in recent years, Ted?
That's a good question. I can't wait to find out the answer. I would say no. I would say no. I mean, it's the pro game is so different than the college game.
Yeah.
And to think that he's just because he was a great NFL coach that it's going to seamlessly work out at the college level, I think is being a little bit naive.
I mean, we're talking about Fitzy, his players in New England mm-hmm. on defense. That was his bread and butter, defense.
Correct.
His players in New England are now, like, obsolete. Like, the new regime wants to kind of get rid of a lot of them because the Bentleys of the world and these guys don't really fit.
You're
their,
too old. You're too slow.
You're old. You're slow. You're big. Some of those things. So this, I get that he was great once, but his way may not be the 2025 way. Roll it.
And you're going to develop a lot. That's what I know.
Hold on.
I think
Stop.
The challenge.
How's the player development? How's the player development been here in the last 4 or 5 years?
Not great.
I mean, seriously, it was one of the like when you thought of players getting developed early in yeah. Bill's time, all the time you saw guys coming in late draft and then turn. There's example after example after example.
Yep.
Of players getting developed. How about the last 5 years of his time here? Were not players great. Getting developed?
No. It's part of the bad drafting combined with not developing is how you don't have much
it's tough
talent.
To develop crap, Ted.
Yeah, but he picked the crap, so he either picked crap or I bet you there was some crap along the way that he developed.
I mean, Tom's basically talking about a guy that was from 20 years ago.
Yeah,
which he was all these things that Tom is saying, but he's just not the same guy now.
Also, Fitzy, we got a text 860. Have you seen Belichick? He's working hard for a man of his age. Like that's kind of part of the point, though. He's old. Mac Brown, they kind of ran out of town.
Because
or,
he was old.
You know, Romeo Crennel was the oldest coach in NFL history down in Houston. Like, the NFL has been very consistent. When you're old, you're no longer a coach in our league. Yeah. For whatever reason, whether it's the hours or the energy.
And I think you have to have more energy to coach college than you do NFL.
The one place we know he has energy.
You guys don't think that he's working hard on this upcoming season for UNC?
I do. Do I think he thinks he's working hard? Sure. Is he working as hard as 2001 Bill Belichick would have worked, even at UNC? No, he isn't.
Is he working hard to get his team?
Is he working
ready
as hard as
season?
Kirby Smart?
I don't know who that is.
I love it, sis. Don't you ever change, Bubba. I love you, man.
But I would say no.
Okay, you don't know, but
he's the Georgia coach.
Georgia coach.
Oh, then definitely not.
Okay, and that's my point. It doesn't matter whether he thinks he's working hard or even feels like he's working hard. If he's not working as hard as it takes to do the job successfully at a high level in 2025. That's all that matters. Roll it.
I think the challenge for him is he's dealing with a lot of probably underdeveloped players because he's dealt with guys that are 4, 5, 6 years further along than what he's normally had to deal with. So I think there's probably a learning curve for him, just in this me hypothesizing. It's not, you know, I don't have much knowledge of it, but I'm sure it's different coaching a 17 or 18-year-old than even a 22 or 23-year-old. So there's just probably less physically developed. And he's a very deep thinker of the sport. I mean, I think what makes Coach Belichick so unbelievable tactically, he can break down an opponent. He watches so much film. He is so smart with how he approaches defensive schemes and offensive schemes. And how much can these young kids retain? That may be an interesting challenge as well, because in some ways, they're not professional. They don't have as much time as we had as professional athletes to go in there and study film and practice and meet and all that. And they don't have that amount of time at the college level.
That was exhausting.
It was. And I would also question Tom Brady. Well, first of all, I appreciate that he said, I have no knowledge of this. I'm just theorizing.
You said hypothesizing.
Hypothesizing. Sorry. But is college football won by scheme and coaching or talent?
Talent.
Right. Isn't college football, we've proven, like, there's a reason it's Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama every year. You know why? They have the best rosters.
Bill's going to try and prove you otherwise, though.
And
this
he might.
Is what, because this is, he thinks it's him. And so that's what's going to be a great case study is how does his team do with not being as talented? Can his coaching overcome the lack of talent?
Mm. It did in the NFL at times, but Fitzy, I'm a little dubious at this point at the college football level.
I don't even know what kind of offense he's got. Does anyone know what kind of team North Carolina is going to be?
Ben Kitchens. No, what's it? Is it Freddie Kitchens?
Freddie
Kitchens' offense.
I mean, let's face it. Bill knows defense. He doesn't know offense. He doesn't know offense nearly the same way he knows defense. It's so, my guess is he's letting Freddie do all the offensive stuff.
And we'll see what happens. And we're still waiting for Stiz to make his declaration. Who wins more games this year, the Patriots or the UNC Tar Heels? We will visit that at a later date in August. 617-779-7937. We'll take your phone calls if you want to react to the Bill talk. If Ted's bashing Bill again based on what the text line is saying. Who knows what's going on? But it's also 5 o'clock. That means it's time for The Drive here on WEEI Afternoons.